Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, I am Nick Newmont, and welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics. This is my inaugural show, and I am thrilled to be here. And before I get into things, even before I introduce myself, I want to say thank you to Sam, who runs the station, and also big, huge thanks to Sheena Metal. I was on Sheena's show a few weeks ago, and it was an incredible 2 hours, and the suggestion went out, why don't you have your own show? Well, why not? And here I am. And it happened fast. And I think it's interesting in the kind of work that I do that this starts Halloween week. Why not? Especially since I do work around paranormal stuff. Well, who am I? Well, again, I'm Nick Newmont, and I am a psychic, a healer, a medium, a channel. I'm an astrologer, a numerologist, a palmist. I do read cards. I'm a very, very advanced energetic healer with a unique technique, and I do house cleansings and blessings, and not the least of which, I am a clinical certified hypnotherapist. I am a part owner of the Newmont Center for Balanced Living in Agoura Hills, and my partner, of course, is my dear wife, Audrey, who has helped me set up behind the scenes for this show. The Newmont Center has been in existence for in Agoura Hills since 2010, and I have been doing the work that I do since 1992. Within the realm of the Newmont Center, we include Dr. Michael McGuire, who is a doctor of Chinese medicine and acupuncture. We also have Kelly Utzig, who does quantum biofeedback and Rife energy frequency work. Jillian Kane, who is a psychic and does energy work, in our recent expo, she was highly acclaimed. And then we have also brought in a young gentleman, Maxwell Darwin, who does life stream hands-on therapy. And if you haven't done that, you've got to try it. All these people are amazing and incredible. And this show will revolve around metaphysics, spirituality, alternative healing modalities, and also some of my friends who are experts in the field of diet, nutrition, and holistic medicine. So I am thrilled to bring you incredible guests as the weeks and months go on. And why mainstream metaphysics? Well, as time has gone on, there's a lot of misnomers or a certain amount of miseducation out in the world about metaphysical practices and things about, you know, when people get too caught up in things like Mercury retrograde. I talk about not getting caught up in astrological paranoia. I set people straight on when do you use sage and the misnomers around that and what incenses are correct. We have our own aromatherapy product line, and we do guide people correctly on the proper use of oils, incenses, and so on and so forth. At our center, we're not just a healing institution, we're an educational institution, and we teach all the aforementioned topics on primary, middle, and advanced levels. And I have to tell you, I have one heck of a good time doing what I do. And so my intention is to introduce you to cutting-edge healing techniques by myself and any guests that I bring on the show. A little bit more about me, going back into the days of when I just did more of psychic work, so to speak. I'm published in my own book of numerology titled NEW Numerology, which came out in 2003, and I was fortunate enough to go on a national book tour, and the publishers highlighted the NEW in numerology, and everyone thinks that that's about my name, and it's no, it's not about Newmont. It's about there's new theorems that I put in that book. So it's not about me. Anyway, my guest this evening is someone that I've known for a chunk of years and is a nationally known comic. I first saw this gentleman perform at the HBO Comic Relief event at the Universal Amphitheater in 1995, I believe. And that was a year after his CD, The Love Master, came out, I believe in 1994, which is, oh my God, that was 25 years ago. Anyway, let's bring in someone who I've been entertained by, and we're going to learn a lot about this gentleman, Craig Shoemaker. Thanks for being here on my first show.
I know, the inaugural show, and we're off and running now. I'm honored to be your first guest. This is awesome.
Oh, thank
you're
you.
You're naming all of these, you know, all the people that work at the Newmont Center and all their accolades, and I'm going, where do I fit in here? We're going to find that out in the interview, because most people think a comic.
Right. They have no idea.
Everybody has an idea on comics. Just get that label.
Notions.
There's a lot of preconceived notions. Like you're going to do jokes all the time.
Who's this goofy guy?
Right. They're just. I've been invited to weddings by people I hardly know because they think I'm going to like entertain people. Like I'll be at the table. They'll look at me. I'll say, pass the salt. He's going to do a salt routine right now. You know what I mean? It's just how people perceive, which we can talk about a lot today, is how we perceive the world is our conditioning.
In my early days of doing psychic work, I would be at parties, and it's an occupational hazard because people would come up and they actually shove their palm in my face and say, what can you tell me?
Yeah.
And I finally got to the point and said, well, I can tell you to call my number and make an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you don't do that to your doctor.
See, now, if that was me, so you're very nice, I'd say... Spirit is telling me you're obnoxious and you need to go. Then you need to go away from me right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there's different kinds of spirits too.
The one thing that's really key to what I've been doing in the last few years is a lot of people have this misnomer. You're talking about misnomers. There's a lot of them, especially the field that you're in. And by the way, some of the things I jive with that you do, and some I go, meh.
Right.
You're going to almost have to prove it to me, which you did a few weeks ago, by the way, which I'll talk about that. But the one thing about laughter that I'm so into, you know, I formed the Laughter Heals Foundation. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later, too. But what I find in the spiritual community and the metaphysical community is it's a big serious. There's a lot of seriousness.
True.
There's too much seriousness. They don't realize, you know, the power of laughter and how spiritual it is because you're truly connecting with yourself. Because you're taking out all those fears, doubts, and worries, and all the baggage that goes with that connection with self. And that's what laughter does. It's the shortest point. You're making it a shorter point to access your highest self. And that's what I'm trying to do is take the people of that ilk, of the everything's namaste, and you have to be really serious, and I have to say the right things and all that. It's like, hey, lighten up. You know, lighten up a little bit. You don't have to sit on a rock in Sedona to have your enlightenment. And also, on the other side of that, is the comedians are the opposite. They're very cynical, not spiritual in general, and there's this really, you know, sarcastic and cynical and taking people down. That's part of their conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal is to tell them, no, you're very spiritual because you're telling the truth, and that's what spirit is you're telling the truth, and that's what comics do.
Right.
You're also doing good for the world. And I'm trying to acknowledge that so that they, you know, of course, they're going to be cynical even about that. And I'm also trying to get to the other folks and build this bridge between the two. So I say it's like building a bridge from the woo-woo people to the ha-ha. We need to go from the woo-woo to the ha-ha and have that connection take place, which we all need to do in humanity anyway. We need to connect more because we're all one anyway.
True. That's very
we're
true.
So divided, but we're all one anyway. But there is a division between the spiritual community and the laughter community. It's very sad to me because I even performed at like this big event, this big spiritual event, and I would say things, and they wouldn't laugh. They would go, "Oh, you know," they would respond like that. I was like, "No, I'm okay, folks. I'm saying these like painful things because I'm okay now. I'm clean of this, and I'm trying to make you laugh so you can identify with it." But they're so caught up in, like, the neighbor next to them might have judgment if they laugh at something inappropriate. So there's not a sense of self in a lot of that community, a lot of the spiritual community I've found, It's also the same with comics. It's like there's this knocking of one another and all that kind of, you know.
Right.
See what I'm saying? It's like I'm looking for a divine connection in life, period, but especially in these two arenas of which I'm a part of.
As my show runs its course in weeks and months to come, you know, we'll get deeper into what spirituality really is,
mm-hmm.
and versus metaphysics versus religion. And there's a phrase that I coined at one of our events a few weeks ago, where I was, you know, that's one of the other things I do. I channel Merlin, which mm-hmm. is fascinating. But without stepping on someone's toes, sometimes there's these forms of very, not lighten up the way you're talking about, but very fluffy kinds of spirituality where everyone's talking breathy. And I refer to it as cotton candy spirituality.
Oh, okay.
And
so you're aware of it too.
Very aware of it.
Yeah.
And there's a phrase that people are using nowadays to exemplify the avoidance of one's issues, which is called a spiritual bypass.
Yes, yes, I know well, right.
And we all know that for the last 20
And those whisperers or cotton candy, they're bypassing something.
Right.
They're bypassing their pain and going right to the woo-woo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
true. But you can't bypass the pain. You can't, because that's where the real goodies come in. That's where the real enlightenment comes in. That's where you really evolve. When you can get to that space of pain.
Well, every problem is a solution waiting to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look at your challenges, your pain, which is also known as karma, mm-hmm. something that one must work through, working through karma and challenges is not an exercise in futility. What it is really is gaining whatever you're missing. So if you have karma on money, if you have karma on relationships,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, when you really work through it, then you go from the lack of whatever that is into the having or the abundance of what
yeah,
that is.
Right, yeah.
And that's why it's so important to work through things or to do the work. And
yeah.
as a metaphysical healer, one of the things with my more advanced students that I talk about is, you know, not allowing people to do the spiritual bypass.
Right.
You know, because in therapy, there's prescriptive therapy versus subscriptive therapy. And subscriptive means the client is doing the work. Prescriptive means the therapist, the healer, the practitioner
Correct.
Is doing all the work. And of course, in what you do with Laughter Heals, when people are laughing, they're doing the work, but it doesn't feel like
they don't feel like they're doing the work. That's why I'm trying to make this a spiritual practice. I do guided laughitation. I did one at the Newmont Center a few weeks ago.
Right.
And it's really interesting to watch. I would actually say to the people that were there, I'd say, so your stress level, your fear, or whatever it is, what is it at right now? Let's give it a number from 1 to 10. And it was, then I would check in with them after each laughitation and say, where is it now? And it kept reducing. It has mm-hmm. to, because of right. what laughter does. You know, you're relieving stress through laughter. You're oxygenating your body. And they say laughter is the best medicine, but it's just a slogan. Because not many people really go for it. Otherwise, you'd be laughing more. But what do we tend to do? We tend to go for what we're conditioned to respond to: accidents on the freeway, you know, fires obviously going on right now. But we're just attracted to it, like moths to a flame, literally.
Right.
And yet, it doesn't make sense to me. It does make sense to me because I've lived it. But the more I go through this. This process, which is an ongoing process, that's what development,
right.
spiritual evolution, that's what it is. And you're talking about the lack of, I had a lack of love growing up. You're talking about lack of money. I had the money, didn't have the money either. We were poor and all that.
Sure.
That's a lot of outside stuff. The love is really an inside job. And I found that avoidance of pain is worse than any pain you can go through. And I avoided it, so it just makes the pain worse. Because you're not addressing it.
Right.
You're doing the bypass.
Right.
And the more I dove into, you know, that being the mantra is true self, true love, when I kept going for it, no matter what, you know, these terrible circumstances would happen. I was kidnapped and molested.
Wow.
you know, I've been abandoned and, you know, just horrible court proceedings with, you know, just a lot of stuff, very painful stuff. And I have no pain from it now. I'm completely mm-hmm. free of it. And as a matter of fact, the day that I want to share this, because I'm hoping anytime I share something, it's in hope that somebody's listening and they go, wow, I connect with that. And I have hope now that I can get through whatever I'm going through. So I went through this lack of love my whole life. My dad left when I was born. He's a cult leader. It's an unbelievable story. But
wow.
My connection with my mom was really lacking in that what one would think would be love, you know, a hug and I love you, all those indications were not there. And we didn't speak for years recently. And she just did something that was really offensive to me also. And I won't get into the details, mm-hmm. but something switched. And you can never tell when these things happen either. It happens when it happens.
That's true.
And, you know, I wanted to rush it along and I do my little thing. One of my things is I write emails and, you know, if there was only somebody there to stop me from pressing enter many times, because how many times have I written an email where they, you know, I get back, thank you for sharing. I had never thought of it that way, Craig. I would like to make amends to you right now. No, it's never happened once. And yet my insanity is the same behavior, expecting different results. I think this is the letter that's going to get to them. No, it never did. As a matter of fact, it makes them more angry. They think you're more arrogant. They think you're just, you know. Anyway, something happened with my mom that shifted me on a dime. It's the weirdest thing. I listened to old CDs of her calling my radio show, of which she was so funny. I listened to one after another. My little kids, I have two little ones and two big ones, mm-hmm. and they were listening laughing. I'm going, this is your Nana. And she's coming out here to visit from Philly. And at first, when I heard she wanted to come, I was like, pass, you know, because, wow. It was too toxic. You know, some of the things that she's done, I believe, are toxic. That's what I said. And I got into this real surrender and acceptance. Those are the things I talk about. The word, you know, laugh is, you know, love, acceptance, understanding, gratitude, and humility. And I got to all those spots and literally laughed. I laughed so hard at her. And I went, wow. I let go of all the expectations, all of it. And I have an absolute, I can look you in the eye and tell you, I'm 100% clean on my mother now. And
good
it happened
you.
In a snap. And she came out and we had the time. Funny, laughing, farmer's market. And it was just the most amazing experience. And we laughed together.
Good.
And that is the core of our relationship to begin with. And laughter is love. And I just wasn't looking at it that way. I was looking at it this way of, she should show it the way a mom shows it, the way I'm conditioned to think a mother should do it. And I became in complete acceptance. And we ended up having more hours together than were planned. More fun together than certainly. I didn't bring up the past once. Didn't need to, because I'm clean now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she is too. I don't know. I don't need to get into it, whether she's got her own process and her own life. And so I just wanted to share that story with you about how, and that was the day that I did the guided laughing at the Newmont Center. That was the same day.
I remember you talking about that your mother was in town that day.
Yeah. It was an absolute transcendence that took place that was felt in every ounce of my being and still is now. It's like I almost feel, I should say, it sounds cocky, but I feel like it could never happen again. That rift could never happen again. Because if I'm responsible for the rift, of which we all always have a part in, and we're 100% responsible
Absolutely.
For these resentments and things like that. People don't understand that. It's like, yeah, you're setting it up because you are afraid. I'm afraid to really have that connection. So I went out and got the love. I got the great wife. Love, love, love. Kids, love, love, love. And yet I still had these gaps. And now those gaps are closing to the point where I can be love, you know,
right.
and really bring this to other people and other conditions, you know. And it's freeing. It's so freeing. And here's the maybe coincidence, or maybe it's not. You'll say it's not. My comedy act has never been better because of this, because of this freedom.
Because
you just saw me the other day.
Right. And you were great. And I've I think I've seen you perform more than any other live act, than whether a band or another,
right.
You know?
Right.
I believe that's the truth.
That's awesome. And but you haven't seen me in a few years, but there's, I don't know, you can make your own observance, but I feel, you know, I do 2 hours and it's like nothing. You know?
Oh, and it's and the way you perform, the show could have gone longer as far as I was concerned.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm always worried. That's a codependence I'm not rid of yet because I am worried
we'll work
about
on that.
Yeah, I do have to work on the codependence and a few things. But it was also really cool visiting the Newmont Center and having you do your work that I was not aware of. I had you on my show before about numerology. It's the first I didn't know it was Newmont, by the way. I didn't know that.
Oh, the title?
Yeah, the title. I thought it was Newmont. It was based on that. I thought it was a play on words, but it's because you have
new techniques
in numerology. Yeah.
In fact, when they brought the book out, when it was published, yeah. I grizzled a little bit that they put the NEW in red and made it stand out like that, because that's what happened. Everybody assumed it was Newmont numerology.
Everybody, yeah, me too. I've known you all these years. That's what I thought. I never asked you that on the show.
In the same way, your name's not Schumacher.
No, no, no. You make shoes. You don't mock shoes. All right, folks. It's Craig Shoemaker.
Oh,
I don't even think
God.
He introduced me yet. So yeah, that's my name, folks.
Oh my God! So, if I haven't said yet,
and I'm the love master. Some people only know me as that.
I want to talk about that
oh,
too.
Yeah.
See, now I'm going to
get your
it.
Show.
I'm supposed to keep my myself.
No,
together.
You're not supposed to.
By the way, going back,
you know what's
to
funny
laughter.
Is I'm going to reflect back to you,
okay.
Some stuff on even being a better host, because I think that some of these conditions happen with you as well. I think there's a little FCC in there. There's a little, you know, that went over the edge. Am I right about that? Because you know I'm a psychic as well. It'd be fun to out psychic each other.
Well,
but isn't that the case with you? You have this kind of monitoring that's going on, and it's not a complete freedom because you have concerns about.
Oh,
how you
sure.
sound, what you look like, you know, all that stuff.
Absolutely.
What you look like, you probably don't care anymore. But anyway,
I'm getting to that point of age, so to speak, where it's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to worry about
in
it.
Acceptance, right.
Exactly.
It's not coming back. But I just think that there's, you know, there's so much conditioning that goes on in the world that it affects us. You know, it affects us from being free, true, authentic, all those things, which would be the goal, wouldn't it? Most people we have the goals that we're even conditioned with. You know, you have a goal of getting that car.
Right.
But very few people are taught to have a goal of enlightenment and getting to know oneself even better.
Exactly. And one of the things you said just a few seconds ago is I've noticed with people where people have gotten so beyond politically correct that people will be upset about something and they won't say it. And then you find out after the fact that they've been stewing on something.
Yeah.
When all one has to do is just say, hey, when you did whatever, you know, that bothered me. And people hold on to stuff.
That's funny you should say that. I had
unhealthy.
A partnership breakup over that. And I said, why didn't you just tell me at the time?
Right.
That's like, I'm not open enough to hear that bothered me. Great. Let me make amends. Let me apologize. Right. Let me do whatever it is. Or I might respond like a jerk that you think I am at the time, you know, but give that a chance.
Right.
And it's so offensive that they had this fait accompli decision that they had made based on these held resentments that they didn't take care of. But usually the resentments, have you ever found this? It's a projection.
Truly.
It's a projection. When someone's angry at someone, so much of the percentage of the time, they're projecting their own stuff that they don't want to see.
Most of the time.
Yes,
most
exactly.
The time.
Exactly. They don't want to see it. So when they accuse you, when they come at you, when they finger point at you, you know, they're absolutely in denial of something that exists within them. And this person that did the breakup, you know, they're coming from this righteous. You're going to put that phone away? Good. Yeah, toss that.
We're doing well.
We all need to divorce our phones.
Jeez.
I wanted to pay alimony if I do divorce the phone. But, that's what happens in the dynamics with people is there's just so much of this attack that's going on. But if we did stop and go, where do I see myself in that? You know what I mean? Like, where can I address my own defects of character or whatever it is? You know, where can I really examine that and then come to that person?
Sure.
Which with much more truth, because it's not truthful if you're just attacking someone. That's not the truth. That's just your rage that you're not dealing
right.
with. You know, you're not dealing with yourself. So it's an amazing, you know, thing to be on this journey. Don't you hate that we're older now and we're getting this stuff?
You know,
one of those things where you go, oh, I wish I was 20.
Well, when I went through my challenging time in the same way you did,
yeah,
and I was in my mid-30s and I had gotten out of a long career that was...
In fashion,
mm-hmm. Right.
That's a shallow career, by the way. I'm not judging her.
It was very, yeah.
Very I'm not judging her anything, but that would be one of the most superficial things you could ever come up with. And now you're in the exact opposite business. Yeah, you look good on the outside.
Right.
That's what we're talking about here. But it's about the insides. You know, I see these Instagram models. They get like millions of followers. I'm begging to be verified. I have Emmys and Community of the Year and all this talent. It means nothing. It's like what you look like on the outside is everything for people.
Right.
And
I know, but
I know because I've lived it. It's no happiness at the end of that road. It's just not going to happen.
It's
never ending. You have a new goal and a new goal and a new goal. These superficial new goals. It's like, I'm here. I'll never forget a tour of a house one time. And another thing is I like to be happy and I like to laugh. And I was getting this tour of this guy. He married money. He's giving me this tour, like his bragging tour. And I actually paused to think to myself, who's having a good time on this tour? Is he having a good time bragging about stuff that he didn't earn? Am I having a good time hearing about stuff that I'm resenting him for having these things? There's nobody that's having a good time. Nobody's going, look at this Picasso. Is this the funniest thing you've ever seen? No, you're not having fun at all. It's right. The human connection, though, that should be our goal. That's fun, is to have a human connection. Doesn't matter where you are in that case. It is nice to have money to go to Hawaii and laugh. I mean,
right. Or, of course.
Tahiti or something.
We all like nice things. We all like stuff. But when I was in the fashion industry, it was very superficial. And the funny thing is, this is what I've never told you this whole story and what we have in common. In my mid-30s, I went through extreme career change and went through divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many kids?
None.
Okay, well, that's good.
I'm very lucky. Okay.
Yes, and that's a deal breaker right there. That's when divorce changes, when there's kids involved.
Right, of course.
And then they become hostages and everything else.
Yeah, they pay the price.
So I heard. No.
I've been there.
Yeah,
when I went through that, you go through those moments where it feels like you're falling down steps, and it's like, when am I going to bottom out? Mm-hmm. And in that time, in changing careers, I met this woman who was a comedian, and I started writing for her.
Oh, my God.
And the stuff I wrote was good, and she looked at me, and she goes, why don't you perform your own stuff? So I had been going.
Know her?
I don't think you do.
What's her name? You'd be surprised. You don't remember her
yes,
name?
Yes, I do remember. I just remembered. Her name at the time was Carol Metcalf. And this was in the early 90s.
Okay.
All right. And there was a club in Beverly Hills, in the heart of Beverly Hills, on Wilshire Boulevard.
Upstairs.
It was split. It was blues, and the other side was comedy.
Yeah, I remember it.
Okay.
On like Rodeo Drive or whatever. Yeah, Cannon or...
Right on Wilshire, right in that area.
Yeah.
And I used to go there to her shows, and there were other comics that actually came out of there.
That was a tough room, though.
It was a tough room.
Because you know why it's tough? You want to take a guess why that particular room was tough?
Go ahead.
You want to take a guess?
You were right in the window.
No.
One thing.
Yes, you were, but that wasn't the reason. It's because the people in the audience don't know who they are because they are those seekers that we're talking about. Those are the seekers of outside stuff. They all had to look good. They're in Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all part of the show. They're not there to see comedy. They're there to be seen. They're there to brag. They're there to whatever their goal is. It's not to go be entertained and sit and be in an audience and be a part of something. They want to be the jam. They want to be it. And that's why that was always a tough room and I never went back. Not interested in that. And that's not an audience that, who wants that? You're forcing them to laugh at you. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
that was one
tough.
Of those rooms that no one could do well. So did you go up there? That was your comedy spot?
Well, that's what happened. And
no wonder you didn't stay with it. Jeez, today you might be you and I might be hosting a comedy show together. Fate would have changed if you wouldn't have went to the right club.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And I played some interesting rooms, too, like you that did. Airtel Hotel in Van Nuys near the airport.
Oh, my God.
But I did play the Improv in Santa Monica. Remember there was a...
Sure.
Yeah, I did play there. So I was lucky that I didn't do open mic nights. I got pulled right into the stream right away.
Because you knew Mitt Metcalf.
Right. And the woman that managed that club at that time, look at us going back and forth, Rachel Lovey.
Mm-hmm.
And she managed a lot of different clubs, and she just said, "Nick, come in next week, and I'll put you up for 5 minutes."
Hmm.
And that started it. And for a few years, I was playing clubs.
What were you doing for a living, though? Were you getting paid?
I moved. I did get paying gigs.
Yeah,
but I moved from the fashion industry into insurance.
Oh, geez, I'm glad I didn't know you then.
Oh, no.
Hit me up for insurance.
I hated it.
Yeah.
But
is that how you know Ted, how we met, Ted Silverberg?
No, I knew Ted from a networking group that I had joined.
Oh, okay, because Ted's the reason we know one another.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. He introduced us years ago. So, but there is this tie-in, though, that I'm sure this is the direction you're going. There's a tie-in to your abilities to, as a psychic, which we all have, by the way. I kind of teach this to people. We all have it.
We can all tap in.
Everybody can tap in, but they don't because we're in those conditions, you know, to not tap in. You know, you're conditioned to get in line, Pledge of Allegiance. That's what my kid does every day. And I won't do it, by the way. Private protest. I will not do it. You're not going to tell me to pledge allegiance to this thing. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense to me. So I back up. I let him get it. By the way, he's a protester, too. He doesn't do it either, my old 9-year-old, 10-year-old.
Oh, that's funny. He's 9 years old.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. He's his own drummer already, and I love it. I think it's so cool to raise a child like this. That is the name of my new book is called Get Out of Line and Into Alignment. Get out of line. Get out of these lines that we're in and just get into alignment with self, and that will give you your answers. Then you're not going to fight to stay in this group that you're in, this tribe that you're in. You're not going to fight, you know, because you're going to know what you're being guided by, you know. So, but I just think that there's this thing that I wanted to bring up with you. I think that you do possess the comedy gene because you have the psychic gene. Because people don't realize that comics are psychics. We're feeling an energy of a room. The best comics feel the energy.
I'm going to share something.
Which is what it is, right?
I got to share something with you, and this literally happened in one of my shows. So the at this one club, the MC got laryngitis, and she came to me and she said, "Nick, you're going to have to MC." I said, "I've never MC'd." She goes, "All you do is break bits of your routine, and then introduce the other comics."
Right. And you spread out your 5 minutes into, you know, 30 seconds, yeah, exactly.
So Craig, I swear to God, and there's a lot of people that know me that don't know this story. So I'm with the audience in the front row, and I look at this couple that were 20-somethings, and I look at the girl, and I go, "Yeah, I know your type. You like to go to those hotels where you put the quarters in the bed and the bed vibrates." Mm-hmm. The girl shrieks and puts her face in her boyfriend's arm like that. It was true.
Ah.
It was true.
It was called magic fingers. Those the vibrating bed.
Yeah.
I haven't seen those in a while. Maybe maybe I'm a little more upscale these days, but I haven't seen the magic fingers in a while.
Just go to Brookstone.
Well, that's different. This is in those Motel 3. This is where you get the magic fingers.
Have the six.
So the psychic ability worked that time, but I'm sure it worked always because your timing even comes from feeling an energetic flow. It's a flow.
Sure it is.
And if comics only knew that, this ability that we all possess it, but it's kind of like honed and skilled in a certain area. It's like building a home and you're like really good at the plumbing. You can be good. Right. You can become great at all of it. If you just show up for yourself,
right,
you know, and stay trust on the path. Yeah, and trust. Yeah, you got to trust that this pain that I'm going through is okay and it will be relieved. I mean, I spend nights like can't sleep with something. I'm obsessed with a pain that I want to go away. How can I make this go away? Meanwhile, everybody's asleep in the house, so I have nobody to go to. Nobody, it's too late to call anyone. I'm left by myself. So, man, that's where the rubber hits the road. You got to do some work.
You, yourself, and you.
Yeah. Know? Oh, geez.
So tell me something. And there's some things I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Going back into when you went through what you went through as a kid, which was unfortunate, but you're a better man for it.
Yeah.
But as you developed your routine, there's some things, first of all, and I'm asking this as a fan, where did you come up with the Love Master? What inspired that?
Well, it's funny you should say that. If you remember my show the other day, I actually talk about it now on stage, which is a much better way to get into the Love Master. Love Master, especially these days with everything being politically correct,
right.
He could be considered because he's a Lothario. But it's an act of a guy who is like that. But the way it came about is my story. I was a geek growing up. You know, like a lot of guys are, you know, I happen to be really little and skinny with a high voice and everything else. And
Barney Fife.
Yeah, I was Barney Fife. That was my idol. And most people don't know who he is anymore, but Don Knotts, yeah, he was my idol. Mr. Furley, Three's Company. That's who I related to. But girls don't go for that guy.
Oh, no.
So I gave them the guy that I thought they wanted. You know, you watch television, films. Who are it's the cads that are getting the ladies. You know, even 007, he's a cad. Yes, come over here, pushy galore. Yes, no, you're sick and not stirred. He's a cad. He's sleeping with different women all the time. Like, right?
Right.
He's not in a committed relationship. So that's where you go. That's what you're, again, conditioned to do is that, wow, I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to not call them back. These are all the tips that you get all through the time. So the girls would, you know, treat me as a friend. I always went for the friend route. I friend zone all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I call it the F word. I get the friend. And I'd even have talks with them. I go, really? Do you really think this friendship's going to last? You know, because I want you, is what I wanted to say. But I didn't. I was too afraid. I was too chicken. I didn't, you know. Anyway, I gave them the Love Master, which is this.
Yeah, baby. Give the geek a chance. I'm the Love Master, Master Love, baby. Oh, yeah.
He's like this smooth talking guy, and he channels through me literally. And it's like, look, we all have bad in us, and it's that bad guy inside of me. So, I have like hundreds of lines for the Love Master that I do, hundreds, because they just come to me because I become that guy. Like you become Merlin, I become the Love Master, and people are afraid of it. You know, people are afraid to talk about sex, even though we all got here from sex, and we go into this, you know, pilgrim denial, you know, that we all go into this puritanical. Exactly. It's insane, you know. But again, we've accepted it as the norm, and you get that's what we're bombarded with these messages, that it's wrong, wrong, wrong. And comics, that's what I do love about being comics, is we don't have these barriers like everyone else does. This is what we're hoping that other people will allow us to break some of these barriers for them, reveal things behind curtains, like The Wizard of Oz is my favorite film of all time, because that's our lives, mind, body, and spirit, Scarecrow, Tin Man, Lion, and, you know, revealing the truth. And the truth is, home is where the heart is. It's inside of us. You can go on these journeys. Nobody else can figure this stuff out for you. You have to figure it out for yourself through experience and so on. And that's what happened in her journey. And she ends up, the journey wasn't this place far, far away. It was right inside of her.
Right.
This makes it the greatest story of all time, in my opinion. It's been emulated and copied time and time again, but there's nothing like that original story, which has all the nuance and all the detail that went into that journey. It's just absolutely extraordinary. I think it's the only film you could ever say that everyone's basically seen. You know, right? I mean, can you think of another film that, I mean, first of all, you can't see some things if you're a little kid. You're not watching. That's not sitting around 3 years old watching The Godfather. It's a great movie, but
it's too brutal,
right? No, you can't. But this was a beautiful, beautiful story, and that's our story. Is we're all Dorothy. You know, we all dream about that land far away, and have all these images of the way it should be or way it is for someone else. Mm-hmm. The grass is always greener, kind of thing.
Right.
And somewhere over the rainbow, but. Man, it's so cool to finally immerse myself in truth and understanding, and to have this life now is just remarkable. I mean, I'm sometimes stunned by it. Remain very grateful to it, though. to be here.
Absolutely. Well, we live in, and I mean this in a really positive way, we live in very interesting times right now. It's a fascinating time to be on the planet.
Yeah,
because we're seeing
I agree.
A lot of change.
But I think a lot of people, yes, I do think there's a bottom that we're hitting, like a drunk or a drug addict. I really believe that, because we're in addictive behavior right now with the unresolved rage and the blame and the resentments and all that kind of stuff and the bullying. There's a lot of those tactics that are going on right now that I truly believe in the spiritual condition. I believe these are the lessons that we're... So you're going to have two choices. You're either going to go, wait a minute. Do I want to go join the drunk at the end of the bar that tells bigoted jokes and goes, ha, 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 you know, at other people's expense? Or do I want to grow and be of service to humanity? Do I want to make people laugh? Do I want to connect with them on that level? So those are the two choices that people are going to have. I would imagine everyone listening to your show, I wouldn't imagine that the ones that are making the choice to stay with the drunk at the end of the bar, that they're not listening to you right now.
It's not that audience.
But, no, it's not the audience, yeah.
When we go back like 50 years ago and referencing the Age of Aquarius and the song and all that, you know.
I love that song.
It was a great song.
Yeah.
And now as we got into, and every astrologer and astronomer has an opinion on this, when we got to around 2011, 2012, as the cosmos is moving, we've gone from the Piscean age into the Aquarian age.
Oh, is that right?
And everyone thought that it was going to be this incredible uplift. But when you understand what Aquarius, which is ruled by the planet Uranus, means and how it applies to people, it has created this polarity that we're going to have to work through for a while. In other words, we'll see the extremes of the concept of good and bad. Mm-hmm. And the good and bad is a perception, all right?
Yes.
But we're witnessing this polarity in so many facets of life right now.
You could call it dark and light, though, couldn't you?
Well, of course you can.
Good and bad.
Sure.
There's dark and light, yeah.
And
yin and yang, yeah.
And the other polarity is love and fear.
Yeah.
And so we're witnessing that in human behavior right now.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, because every age, you know, astrological age, last 2,000 years. That's the other thing that's interesting, Craig, is that when these things happen every 2,000 years, people come and go. We're existing right now where there's a massive change taking place within not our planet, the solar system, the galaxy. Things are happening. Weather is changing. Things are different.
Yeah, it's true.
And we're watching all this happen, but it's so much bigger than what we recognize.
Yeah, now I think I might have told you this before. I'm skeptical on certain things. One of them is definitely astrology. I'm a skeptic with that. Now you took care of some skepticism. I wanted to get to this, not that it's my interview, but I did want to talk about, it's almost bragging about you. You put me on the table. I'd like you to describe to people what you did, and I will tell them what happened that I thought was a freaking magic trick.
It was for my next trick.
It was the weirdest. I've experienced a lot. You know, I've done a lot in my life, from everything from hallucinogenics to, you know, everything in my life I've done. I have not experienced this particular thing that happened. It was very odd.
So what Craig means is when you get on the table, it's a massage table, and everything is done hands-off. And so what I do is I do an assessment of the conditions of the chakras and the conditions of the aura, and then through the process of what I do, you...
Now, chakras are like energetic fields.
The energetic centers at each point in the body.
And all over our bodies, we have these chakras.
Right.
Yeah.
And they represent real aspects of life. So if you talk about your heart chakra, your throat chakra, they pertain to reality within the physical body, your emotions, your experiences, all of that. And then I go in and shift the energetic field into the fifth dimension or beyond, where time does not exist. And so you become, the way I can see you, is this big hologram in the same way. Here's a great vision. When people would watch Iron Man and the way Tony Stark would look at the computer program and move things around, that's what I see. And so even though your organs are in your body, they're outside of your body in the auric field.
You're seeing this.
That's what I see. And so what I do is I assess that, and then I go into a restorative or a corrective process.
Okay.
Releasing these feelings, thoughts, emotions.
That are holding those chakras back.
Right. That create blockages.
Blockages in the chakras. Right. Yeah. So you're basically, you're imprisoned by them, if you will.
So we are imprisoned by our own thoughts at times.
Yeah.
And then, of course, so I'm communing.
It locks up your chakras, and then you become ill from it. You can become
fearful,
worrisome. Yeah. So all that's going on. So I want to get to the part of what I experienced. I'm on the table, and you put something on my body.
One of the crystals.
Only one?
Well, a lot.
Okay, you put a lot. Okay, so tell us about. I feel like I'm interviewing you now, but I do want to hear about what you did, so people can hear what you did, and I'm going to let them know. I'm going to kind of give it the credibility to tell what happened, but I just want you to describe it, because you'll describe better than I do, and I'm going to hear it for the first time because I wasn't sure what you were doing. My eyes were closed.
So there, I put the appropriate crystals, some of which are glued onto an agate plate in a formation, so there's symmetry. Some of the crystals are just loose, like a chunk of something, and they're from head to toe, on your body, around your body.
And you're putting these crystals all over me.
Right.
Okay.
And
most of them, though, were in one location, right around my heart.
Correct. Right. And the crystals have a vibration to them. And
are you picking different crystals for
specifically?
You are.
Yes.
So you're reading, you're doing these readings. It's like you're reading a graph or whatever.
Right.
You go, okay, this needs this particular crystal. I'm putting this on this chest.
Exactly.
Right. So that's what you're doing. So you're figuring that out. Go and you get your crystals that are sitting in the other room or whatever.
Right.
You put them on me. So I'm lying there, and then you left the room.
Right. Which we affectionately call that marinating.
So whatever happened in the marinating, it started to boil.
Which is common, by the way.
This was the weirdest part. I had to peek my eye out to see if you were doing a magic trick or something. I was like, boy, I had that real trust with you. The rocks started jumping.
Yeah.
I couldn't see them because I kept trying to keep my eyes closed, but I was going, what the hell was that noise? It was them banging up against each other on my chest and on my stomach, and I wasn't moving. They were going like snap, snap, crackle, pop. Remember Rice Krispies?
Absolutely.
I couldn't believe it. I was going, what the hell's going on? I was looking up. Where is he? He's doing something. He's like got a little string on these things or something. I got skeptical. Yeah, it was this. So what was going on when that was happening?
Your chakras were responding to the crystals is what was going on. And the corresponding vibration of those particular stones was actually loosening up and removing the blockages that were in the chakras.
And that's what happened, too. I felt I was way less stressed and blocked. And you told me my adrenals were drained, and I felt less drained. I felt more relaxed because of this opening that you had. You manifested an opening with the chakras.
Right.
So while they're opening, it was like a volcano was, bubbling. That was like they were bubbling these things.
And that's the language that I use, that when the chakra begins to open, it has an effect like a volcano or a geyser.
Mm-hmm.
And once the chakra begins to move and open, it also then moves the crystals that are there.
By the way, so everybody has different responses. That's the other thing I was going to talk about. My wife had a whole other response.
Right.
And she told me she had bones crack like a chiropractor, and you weren't touching her. You
not
weren't
at
anywhere
all.
Near her. You better not have been, you better not. So yeah. So that's what I went in for that. I didn't get that. I got the popping crystals. Is it a menu or do we get to choose? But you aren't choosing. You're choosing based on what you're given from your reading.
Because it's your experience.
My experience is different than my wife's.
Right.
She didn't need the popping crystals.
Even though everybody that comes in, there is a script that I follow on how I do it. Everyone's experience is different. And it's different to the degree of response, the degree of healing and recovery. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
And so some people's experiences are very profound like yours, And then there's some people that, given their condition, I sort of take my foot off the gas pedal a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the change could be a little too much.
Well, also, you must be dealing with heavy, heavy skepticism. And maybe most of your clients, I take that back, but a lot of your clients already are kind of there and willing. You have to have willingness.
Right.
Because when they shut off, when they're shut off to you, they're definitely shut off for themselves.
That's true. And it's not
for everybody. That's got to be very difficult. It's not for everybody. Yeah.
No, not at all.
It could be for everybody with just the willingness, right? That's all it would take. Willingness and openness.
Sure. And the other thing, when you say skepticism, I actually think that's a good thing. Because skepticism isn't, I don't believe that. Skepticism is, well, prove it to me.
Okay.
And I think that's very healthy.
Yeah, but I'm from Philly. The prove it to me is, hey, prove it to me, Dick.
Well, I'm from Pittsburgh, so.
You know the attitude.
Yes, truly.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger behind the prove it. But I imagine a lot of the people that are, with you, they're already, if they're walking into your center, called the Newmont Center, and it says what it is, they're probably a little more open
than some
yinzer from Pittsburgh who's eating the Permane Brothers.
Permane Brothers.
Pounding down one of those giant sandwiches.
From that hard roll.
The most gigantic sandwiches I've ever seen in my life. It's like, I don't even know why it is. How can you fit your mouth around it?
For the listeners that don't know where we're talking about, this place in Pennsylvania, they throw down this great big bread, hard roll, on wax paper, and they put steak and French fries and tomato and coleslaw.
It's probably, I would say, about 5 inches thick, right?
It's huge.
No mouth can get around this thing.
And you just have to crunch it, and the bread crumbs go all over you and all that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm watching the clock, and we're going to have to...
Really?
We're going to have to say goodbye soon.
Wow.
I know, the time is incredible.
Did you get to any questions? Oh, you got to how the Love Master happened. Exactly. I think everything else that I'm seeing on your paper is not asked.
And
it took its own journey.
Here's the thing. We'll have you back.
Yeah, okay.
Because we have a lot to talk about.
Part deux.
Part deux. No deux.
We never got into the laughter heels. Jeez.
I know, and your first book, Love Mastered.
Yes. A Digital Journey to Love and Happiness. We're not going to get to that either, huh? I'm very proud of that book. That book is a reflection of the growth.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I know you leave for Florida soon to perform your act. When are you back in the LA area performing again? So we can tell the
I have a Burbank Flappers appearance on like Thanksgiving week maybe or the week after. You just go to Craig Shoemaker, not Mocker, no umlaut, not off the boat from Bavaria, craigshoemaker.com, sign up. Say you heard me on here. Say, hey, what's up? And, I love connecting with people. By the way, that's how the book was written. A fan reached out to me and said, I'm divorcing after 30 years of marriage. And my psychic sense took over and responded to her in a way that she was not expecting from a comic. And the book is our exchange over our year in private messages on Facebook. And I ended up being a muse for her. And now she has a beautiful relationship for the first time in her life. It was an unbelievable journey that I went through with that book. A whole year we just hung out,
Good for both of you.
Yeah, and we both grew from it. I shared my stuff. She shared her stuff. And I was the only one not even a therapist was she talking to. It was really an extraordinary experience. So Love Mastered, the book, that's what that is our exchange. And I don't want to spoil it, but the end is so profound what happened. It's all real life.
Where can they pick it up, Craig?
I think I might have a few books. I could even autograph them at my house.
And
CraigShoemaker.com.
We do carry it at the Newmont Center.
You do?
We have copies of it.
Oh, my God. Yep. I didn't even know that. We can do an autograph signing or something if anybody's interested. But but the book, I believe, helps people because you can watch these two pained individuals that you'll relate to. Anyone can. That are going through a very difficult time in their lives and how they come together. And it's a love story with no sex. I mean, I love this woman, even though she was a fan, I hardly knew her, and yet we love one another. And my wife is totally into it. She was very happy that that's how cool she is. Imagine other wives going, what are you doing going online again? It really was an extraordinary relationship that was, and now I don't want to spoil it, but she's in love, the person I wrote the book with. Yeah.
So let's have you back again. And what I want to do the next time you're back is do an exercise of laughter heals.
Oh, yes.
So people can witness that.
A guided laughitation, yes.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you being on my inaugural show.
Yeah, man.
This is fun. We're going to do this again.
It went by fast. That means it probably was good.
This was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, let's hope somebody was listening besides Audrey. Hi, Audrey.
That's funny. Thank you for listening. I'm Nick Newmont. This is Mainstream Metaphysics. I'm here every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And also you can listen again on podcasts on LA Talk Radio. I'll see you again soon. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.